Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Coming up, our week in review. Among the stories we'll dive into, a Boston Globe investigation into a municipal court judge unleashes a debate about judicial bias and whether the Suffolk County District Attorney is threatening judicial independence.
Also, the best-known Republican contemplating a run for the White House says he's also the richest.
And he's on his way to the Granite State. Is Donald Trump a serious candidate?
Or just seriously good at self-promotion?
But first, jury selection begins next week in the corruption trial of Sal DeMasi, the third consecutive Speaker of the Massachusetts House to face federal indictment. The witness list for the defense was just released, and it includes a host of familiar names from Governor Deval Patrick to Chef Todd English.
Here to preview the coming courtroom drama is the Boston Globe's Milton Valencia. Welcome back to Radio Boston, Milton.
Thank you for having me.
So let's remind our listeners that Sal DeMasi is basically charged with taking kickbacks in exchange for steering a state software contract to a Burlington company called Cognos. Governor Deval Patrick is on the witness list, Milton. So what does the governor have to do with any of this?
I'm assuming that that prosecutors want to show that the defendant here, Mr. Sal DeMasi, he worked hard to have this contract steered towards the company Cognos, to the point of meeting with the governor. Perhaps we don't know if that meeting actually happened. Our Andrea Estes has reported that some meetings took place between the governor and the former House Speaker. So I think it would speak to the activeness of the former speaker to actually have this contract delivered to Burlington, to the point he lobbied all the way to the top, to the governor's office.
Is there any possibility that if indeed Governor Patrick does testify, that there's any chance that it may not be good for him?
The key question, which we noted the other day, is what the administration knew and when they knew it. Mm-hmm. That's really going to be at play here. We've reported that the governor, he was a new governor at the time. He maybe wanted to make friends and kind of have everyone happy in state government and work along, that whole grassroots effort of everyone working together. I'm sure that, that's what the Patrick administration will say, is that they thought they were working cooperatively. But the key question is how hard did the House Speaker lobby the governor, and did anything, did it get to the point where it should have raised flags, should have been noticed that maybe he was working a little too hard?
I see. Another point that both sides are fighting over, as is often the case in these kinds of trials, is that, of course, what evidence is going to be admissible during the trial. You wrote in the Globe this morning that some statements allegedly made by DeMasi to confidants will actually be admissible, despite Sal DeMasi's defense attorney's protestation. So what is in actually these statements that DeMasi does not want a court to hear?
The admissions of guilt. I think prosecutors want to prove that not only did the former House Speaker commit these acts, but that he committed them knowing that they were wrong. And by doing that, they would have to show some evidence of him not taking responsibility, but acknowledging the wrongfulness of what he was doing and doing that publicly. That would really speak to the criminal act here. And prosecutors have evidence that show he wanted a former associate of his who was the funneling of the money, involved in the funneling of the money, to lose a check register. That's a quote that's apparently going to come out in the trial. And that check register apparently showed that the former associate was not only getting money from Cognos, but funneling that money towards the House Speaker, according to prosecutors. Not only that, but Sal DeMasi, according to prosecutors, blatantly lied when asked whether he knew about Cognos, whether he knew about a defendant in the case working for Cognos, and that the defendant was working to get a contract to the state. The former House Speaker apparently blatantly lied, and according to prosecutors, that's another admission of guilt. If what he thought he was doing was all right, okay, then why lie about it? And that's going to be a key piece of evidence that prosecutors are going to now be able to submit at trial.
Milton, we mentioned a little earlier in the show that Chef Todd English is actually also on the witness list. Another interesting name. Why is he? Why may he be called?
Well, he would be called for the defense, and one of the key issues here is who got money, how they received the money, and whether that money was appropriate. We do know that the former House Speaker received a significant, a unique third mortgage for about $250,000 from Richard Vitale, a close friend of his, also a co-defendant in this case, part of this alleged scheme. So that has been noted, particularly because it's a unique mortgage from a friend, a third mortgage, and from a friend, a co-defendant in this case. But the defense wants to point out that, you know, Mr. Vitale has done this before. Doesn't mean it's illegal. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with it. And we reported today that one of those people who received a similar mortgage was the chef Todd English. He received a third mortgage in 2003.
The Boston Globe's Milton Valencia, thank you so much for bringing us up to speed.
Thanks for having me.